Did somebody come in here tonight with a made up mind that they were coming after a blessing from God? Did somebody come ready to worship in His presence? Hallelujah. I hope that you're not waiting on the one sitting next to you to realize how liberated that you are tonight and how free that you are tonight. Oh, you begin to realize when you make up your mind and you say, God, it's you and me, and Lord, it's you and I, and we're going to go through this together. Did you make up your mind before you got here? Did you make up your mind on Monday when the trouble began to come oftentimes? And don't act like that it don't show on a service when God can't move and be free in a place when we don't come in prepared like we should be. And oftentimes we're dwelling in the trouble, but God just wants us to dwell in who we are and what He's done and what we're covered by and how far that He's brought us. I'm not defeated tonight, and you can sit down all night long, but God has quickened me to give you this word, and you can keep silent if you want to, but the anointing of God came to not only break up your stuff, but to destroy what is holding us back. Lord, I'm so tired of starting out well, and the first thing that happens, I just fade away. And when Monday morning came this week, I finally decided, God, I'm making up my mind. If I've got to pray to you in the morning, got to pray to you in the afternoon, pray to you in the trouble, pray to you in the evening, pray to you on my way home, I'm going to make up my mind and come through some things so that at the end of the day, when push comes to shove and God's looking for somebody that the signs can follow, that you'll be ready to deliver what God has placed in you to do. Hallelujah. We've missed the call, church, because we're worried about so much around us. I want you to picture tonight with me, oh, a place of darkness and a place that's in trouble. And hallelujah, if you thought about it long enough, that's where we are. That's what we're facing. And if there's ever a time where your mind needs to be set and fixed on God, it's today. I encourage you not to let another service go by where your mind's not made up to serve Him. All the neglect and loneliness that I feel throughout my week from wondering where my friends are or wondering where that I'm going to get my comfort. And then I realized that when I was praying that I was getting into the peace of God which surpasseth all understanding. Hallelujah. I learned what the peace of God means. It means that when it is beyond you, when it's beyond your rational understanding, or when you don't know how that you made it, but somehow you did, that's the peace of God. Is somebody dwelling in the peace of God tonight? Oh, God's wanting you to draw nigh to where you can feel His peace, where you can know what it feels like for the weight to come off your back and know that God is so real. We're taking our sweet time tonight. And I didn't want to get in anybody's way singing because I love to worship. Go ahead and get your Bibles and open up tonight to the book of Romans. God has been dealing with me about the message of Paul that he wrote to the Romans. And before you can even begin to read the opening letter in chapter 1, you just have to begin to understand where Rome was in the time. Rome was in a time where they were worshiping multiple gods. There were Orthodox Jews in this place, and there were those that worshiped the god Diana. There were those that worshiped the Greek mythology. There were people that worshiped every form. And then there were those that were idolaters, that it didn't take the form of a god, but they worshiped it nonetheless. Rome in that time was very perverse and very dark, and many sexual promiscuities began to happen in that time. It was a very filthy place to walk. And hallelujah, how many of us know that the portrait of Rome that Paul was talking to isn't far off from where we are today? Pornography is the new way of sexual promiscuity. Hallelujah. We need to get our minds focused tonight. And you need to hear this word. There's people that's being trailed off by the lust of their flesh. But I'm here to tell you, as a man to another man, if you pray hard enough, God will turn your eyes away. God will teach you, oh, to man up and serve Him and not what pleases you. You'll come in with a made up mind and be a man of God. They were in a very tough place. And as you know, Paul finally found his calling. He finally realized what he was to do. Coming from a place of persecution and murdering, having anything but a miracle experience to turn his heart around to go proclaim that Christ was Lord. What he was going to begin to speak was not easy. And he didn't have a congregation trailing behind him. But tonight Paul was justified by faith. When I begin to read in the book of Romans in the first chapter, I begin to wonder what was going to be the biggest battle that Paul would face. And I thought, well, Lord, surely it has to be converting the lost. Because that seems like that's the hardest battle for us as Christians today. But as I begin to read in this word, I realize that's not where the real enemy was. He began to address the Orthodox Jewish people in the time that had grown up from birth to be raised in the law. They had been brought up to be circumcised on certain days. They had been brought up to observe the Feast of the Tabernacle and unleavened bread. They had been brought up very strict by having to sacrifice things in the law that they could not have. And Paul was beginning to address them. And how many of us know that though we may go to church, though we may worship, and though we may know the Word of God, that God still has something to speak to you. God still has something to break up everything that we set up. Listen, we go to church 20 years and then wonder why God ain't saving. We're so caught up in the law of tradition that we can't get into the anointing of the Spirit. And God has sent a word tonight, just like Paul had delivered, and wanted you to know that you're not the only one in the world that God's going to answer, but there's people out there that are lost and undone and unclean and promiscuous and perverse and bound. Oh, I feel the Lord. And addicted, that needs you to be more than just religion. He began to speak to them and open up their understanding, clarifying why it mattered that there was grace for everyone. And how is it, I don't know, that he began to explain grace to a people that should have known, but he did. Oh, I thank God. I was so unclean when God found me. I was so undone. I had done so much. I've been through many things. And if I was judged by the standards of the law at that time, I would have been cast away. I would have been tossed to the side. Hallelujah. So how many of us know it's not just in the works that we do, in the covenant we have with God? He began to address the Jews in a context that was pretty much stating without stating it. Do you not remember where it was that you were in the beginning of when you were established? He begins in chapter 3 to talk and bring in Abraham in the very beginning when God initiated that covenant with him. He had not already been observing the law, but by what he did in works was a sign of the covenant. It was not the covenant, it was a sign of it. The cutting of the flesh was a sign of the covenant. And hallelujah, I want you to know tonight that Abraham didn't start out an Orthodox Jew, and he didn't start out knowing everything there was to have church. So don't let people bind you up by what they would tell you is church. Don't let them keep you bound from being able to praise God. Know this tonight, that there is no law, there is no tradition that'll keep you from knowing the grace of God. There'll be nothing that'll hold you back in a time when you need it the most. Did you know when God was dealing with Abraham in that covenant that he was not a Jew, but he was a Gentile? And I find that so amazing that God spoke to something that he was not and created something in him, oh, that signified the covenant of God's love for him. Before there was Abraham, there was darkness over the earth. And God spoke to the darkness and said, "Let there be light." And he spoke to a Gentile by his love, by what he gave in the works, and made a covenant with Abraham, thus starting the Jewish nation as we know it today. But there became a people that hadn't observed the law, didn't know anything about it, and they needed so much. Oh, church, get a hold of this tonight. Oh, if we just begin to realize that even in the very beginning, before they had a law, that Abraham was undone and in need of a covenant. He was in great need of something. And those people at that time that Paul was sent to speak to were in great need. They were operating in such disastrous things. Witchcraft, sorcery, warlocks. Every presence of evil and darkness was binding them. And I would think that you would start from the outside in and try to draw the lost and go out and witness. But he was addressing those that knew it best. And the Lord wanted me to speak this tonight. That it's not about how much that you've known of what you've been raised in. It's not in what people have taught you. But it's by his grace and that divine covenant that he gave to all of us. And what he did for us by Christ's sacrifice. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see the lost saved. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hoping and dreaming it's going to happen. But tonight, be justified by your faith. Know where it is that you came from. Know what it is that God gave you. How precious it is to know his grace. Not a person in this room deserved it. And even today we still don't deserve it. But out of his love, he blessed us to know what it feels like to have a covenant that we didn't have to fight for. Oh, if we don't start coming in and realizing the grace that we're walking in, we're going to get in trouble, church. Paul began to speak even greater and begin to say, shall we continue in sin, being dead to it? When God saved my life, there was a death that happened. There was a funeral that came to pass. And through that baptism, I'm made new. But God wants us to stop hanging on to our dead body. That which we have repented from, that which we have came out of, God is dealing, speaking to us, trying to get us to realize that we are not as though we were. All things are passed away. If we could just have one church service where we didn't look back, you'd see a church service that was on fire. Because if you don't look back, you're being justified by faith of who you are now. I'm asking you tonight, from me to you, do you know who you are? Do you know what God has brought you through? Do you know the price that was paid so that you're able to even be here? Satan is catching our very thoughts before they can turn to praise. And we come in so quiet and so bound. But if you really got in the center of God's grace, you'd bust through the door with a praise that nobody could quieten. And we'd come in singing with the fire and not just trying to sing for the fire. You've got to begin to realize just how good that God is before you can sing about how good that God is. Before you ever can preach, before you can prophesy, you've got to understand the grace of God. And if we're going to ever be able to come together and get past who we know and who our family is, to be a body of believers that's really going to get something done, we're going to have to realize that God's grace doesn't look on anything to do with anybody. He doesn't look at the past. Oh, but we stand as people that's washed away. Can we not come together today knowing simply by his grace we are free? If that's all that we need, that's all that we need. Grace doesn't play favorites. It doesn't play favorites. Somebody say that with me. It doesn't play favorites. Oh, then Wednesday came. And I said, God, I'm so tired. And I was quickened by his anointing. Said, I am your strength. I wish I could testify to you just how quick that I felt it come. Oh, the very moment that My doubt began to set in. God moved in. And I don't know who prayed for me on Wednesday, but I thank you for praying for me. I thank God that a strength began to come to me. And Thursday came. My mind was weary. I was worn out. And I said, God, I'm so tired of thinking small. I'm so tired of just coming in and trying to fight for a feel good. I'm so tired of not being able to come into your house and be free as I am indeed. And then he quickened me again and said, Jared, it doesn't matter who looks upon you. What matters is that you know that you're free. So tonight you might not run with me and you might not jump with me, but I want you to know that I'm just as free as you are. And though we may not worship the same, we've got to come together under the grace of God, where there is no boundaries and there is no family and there is no law. For faith fulfilled it, and it became a law of faith and not by works. And part of my job, what I do is I take things on a computer and write it in such a way that someone that's blind can use it, or someone that can't hear, that they're able to read and interpret things quickly. And it has forced me at times to close my eyes and just listen to the sound that was coming out to try to instruct me on what to do. How many of us know that we don't walk by sight, don't walk by what we see, but how many of us know that it's by hearing? You're not going to do a thing by seeing it. Somebody needed that. You're not going to do a thing by seeing anybody stand up and praise God. You're not going to do a thing because you're still waiting for the sign. Still waiting for the sign. Still waiting for the sign. You're still looking for something. And trust me, I've been in that boat and I've been looking afar off and saying, God, when's the day going to come where we're going to just bust out in revival? And then when my spirit finally stopped being frustrated and fleshly, I heard the voice of God. Feel the Lord. I can't help it. I heard the voice of God speak to me. Oh, it was so simple. It said, I am there. Woo! Oh, I am there. Oh, if you just knew that God's breath is breathed upon you even now this night. If you just would get a hold of it, the guilt of sin would no longer have a hold. But you know by His grace, woo, that you are delivered today, and you're delivered tomorrow, and you're delivered the next day. And you're delivered the next day, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. Your enemies will be at peace with you, and it's not going to be through what you do, but it's in knowing the grace of God, knowing what He's done. I'd call us the 13th Street Church of No Respect of Person. I would will today for each one of you that you take a little bit of prayer time to allow yourself to listen to what God wants to bring to you. Oh, I've never felt this before. When you say the first words, and they're hard to pray, that you're fighting against the mistakes you feel like, that you're unworthy to speak, and God is speaking to you right now, if that's you in this place, He wants you to know that by His grace, you're able to cry out. By His grace, you're able to say, God, though I failed, I am what You've made me. Paul even said, we all sin. I'm not telling you anything that you can't read in the first 8 chapters of Romans. He said that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And you can even read in chapter 9 that He wasn't angry with those that were bound up by the law, but He was sorrowful in His heart. He was sad for them. And my heart's grieved. We go to churches, and I don't care what denomination it is, we're going to go and obey God. But there's been some places that I've went lately that I'm sad and sorrowful for them, to know that they could have so much more in God's grace. And they don't realize that tradition and religion and some book somebody wrote 100 years ago is going to bind them up to where they never realize that once they're dead from sin, they don't have to justify anything to anybody. That you don't have to go through any motions to prove that God has not made you free. And my heart is grieved because unless we realize just how free we are, we will not operate freely. You understand what I'm saying? Unless you come in with your mind made up. Now somebody could sing the fire down, but that's still not going to make you willing. It'll make you feel good. It may make you feel convicted. But oh, if we're going to get anybody saved, we got to be willing. You've got to be willing to part with yourself. Hallelujah. The baptism that he spoke of then was a death to the person that we were before. You may have been bound at one point by people. May have been bound at one point by your own fears. But God has made you free. There's some of us that need to finish on the funeral. And go ahead and realize that all the things that used to hold us, that made us afraid, it's an illusion. There's nothing holding you back from shouting to the Lord God even now this night. There's nothing that's holding you back from being able to. And if there's anything that is ever pressing upon you, it is the weight of the guilt of sin. Now, I've been here with you. I've been here before. You feel great at church, and you have good intentions in your heart, and then something causes you to fail, and we don't make it right and pray. And the next time that we are needed to be obedient, we just don't feel it like we should. There's no greater burden that you'll ever have than the guilt of sin. Nothing. No wrong that you could ever do. Nothing will weigh upon somebody greater than the conviction that you feel in your heart towards God. But I'm glad, even as Paul said, it didn't matter if you were Jew or Gentile, is he not still God to you? Oh, is he not still God to you today? We've got to stop looking for the preacher to get us on fire. And I'm all for support and I'm all for people standing up and praising him. But if you're not already on fire in your heart, it's time to get to work on what's burdening you. You don't know the last time that you'll get to open up and show God your thankfulness. Did you know that in the very structure of the temple of God, that you have to go through the courts and the gates to the courts with thanksgiving? Oh, some of us are dusty out there outside the gate. God's wanting to clean some stuff up in here. I didn't say out there. I said in here. God's wanting to get our hearts in a place where we're able to enter into the holies of holies and not be struck down dead spiritually, but be able to come in with righteousness and boldness to when we call out on the throne room that people would be healed and set free. It is not a myth. It is not a far-fetched ideal. God still delivers. It's not something that I heard about 10 years ago. It's not something that people have told me about the church back then. But it's today. You better not be building a church for it to be a mausoleum, a memory of what used to be. If you're going to build a church, you better build it on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his grace to know that when you walk in those doors, that he's with you. God didn't set you free from anything that you're still bound to. And I'm going, people are probably going to send me hate mail on this one. But if you still feel bound to something and you feel like you have a relationship with God, if you're still bound, there's still more that needs to come off of you. If you're not able to obey God freely, let's not talk about worship because people get caught into, I'm going to wait till I feel the Spirit. But who's going to be the one to offer? And then we get in that debate and nobody will ever do anything because everybody's looking for somebody to do something. We're not going to go there. Let's just talk about just our obedience. What are we going to do if we discard the value of the grace of God? If we are separated from our prior nature, then we're not going to wallow in the mud. If we are dead to what used to hold us back, then we're not going to dwell in our death. Christ did not deliver you for you to do anything but live. He did not do anything for you that did not bring life and it more abundantly. Don't care what anybody thinks, because when you go home, they're not probably going to care. But if God is dealing with you right now, would you be willing to let Him touch your mind? Oh, you're not bound to anything. There's nothing behind you that's holding you. Oh, somebody give God praise. Somebody be willing to pray with me right now. Oh, God did not call us to go through the motions. How many of us can say amen to that? God did not call us to come inbound.